Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back again this week for another blog and podcast. This time it is going to be about flexor tenosynovitis. And I love POCUS exams, especially for musculoskeletal. I feel like many times that I'm using ultrasound probably the most for a lot of musculoskeletal and skin and soft tissue complaints, which matters because realistically, a lot of emergency medicine and primary care stuff relates to those topics, and it's very easy to do. Now, as we've talked about before, I obviously do a lot of other types of exams, but I feel like this is the one that maybe the most common I do overall is just looking at those types of conditions and complaints, which is nice when I was looking through different topics for the upcoming POCUS discussion. I was debating a whole bunch of different things, but one that I've really enjoyed and one that I have found ultrasound to be very beneficial for has been for flexor tenosynovitis. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get too involved in this podcast, a quick note from our sponsor, Practical POCUS, that there is the upcoming ultrasound course, August 5th through 7th, 2019 in Missouri. Please check it out. It is going to be a great course where we're going to have the Butterfly IQ as well as the GEV scan. That doesn't mean that you can only use those machines. If you already have a machine of your own that you're using, that's perfect. Bring it with you. If you are wanting to try a machine, say you are not certain, you haven't bought one yet, and you're still trying to decide, well, if you let us know, especially if you let us know really soon, we can get you set up with either the Butterfly IQ or the GEV scan to trial it at the course. Another point, just something to consider with it, is that this is not just for those who are working in rural or remote settings. As the name implies, it's critical access because really these are the people who are using it the most in these unique settings. But pocket ultrasound is used across the spectrum. So don't feel like you can't go for that reason. And the reason why we're mentioning them as well with this podcast is because there's going to be a lot of musculoskeletal, skin, and soft tissue type discussions at that course on the third day. There are 2 and 3 day options, but pretty much everyone signs up for the 3 day option. I think it's because it's just unique enough that there's enough different applications. Why not? It's a beautiful place to go and visit. And for just this week, you can get 10% off of the course. So if you are looking for a deal, this is the time to register. So make sure to go to practicalpocus.com/criticalaccess2019 or just go to practicalpocus.com where it will pop right up on the first page. Click on the Critical Access 2019 stuff and learn some more about the course. But like I said, you need to register soon if you want the discount with it. And if you're wanting to get an ultrasound ahead of time, you'll actually get a discount. But say you're not certain, you want to trial the machine or you want to bring your own, but maybe you're looking to buy something new, that also is not a problem because you can buy an ultrasound machine at the course itself. So again, make sure to check this out. Thank you again, Practical POCUS, for the support. And now let's dive into the topic. So we obviously hear about flexor tenosynovitis. It's one of those true hand emergencies that we need to look out for. And classically, you have Knievel signs, which is that sausage digit, that uniform swelling along the entire finger, pain to percussion or palpation of the flexor tendon sheath. The finger is held in passive flexion, and there's pain with passive extension. Those are the four classic signs, but realistically, you're not going to see that in every patient. So the clinical exam may not always be able to be definitive. And if you work in shops like I've been at, where you have your surgeons who are less than excited about these conditions and kind of question the accuracy of it, if you have some additional testing, especially ultrasound, this can be very helpful. So it's been mentioned before about some previous literature and the technique, but there really hasn't been a true prospective study until recently with Jordan et al., the Hand Surgery and Rehabilitation Journal, where they did a single emergency hand care center in France studying 57 patients prospectively and found that it is actually a pretty decent exam to do, especially in those patients where the diagnosis was not yet confirmed. So these are patients who had kind of general complaints that were included in the study. So inflammation suggestive of flexor tenosynovitis, confirmed infection of the entry portal, or pain over the flexor tendon sheath. So again, kind of Knievel signs overall. You know, you got something that's kind of generic, but really not positive. So they took those patients and they were examined by a surgery resident and attending. They had a C-reactive protein level drawn, which, spoiler alert, really wasn't super helpful. And then they had x-rays performed. If the exam did not confirm the diagnosis, then they performed ultrasound. If the ultrasound was positive, those people were taken to surgery, cultures were obtained, and basically pyogenic flexor tendon synovitis, which is the one we're worried about, was ruled out if there were no findings made during surgery and the culture was negative. If the ultrasound was negative, the patient was treated for cellulitis and antibiotics, and immobilization with close evaluation every 2 days was done until the infection improved. These patients could be taken to surgery, for which one of them eventually was. Now, the individuals performing these exams were pretty highly skilled. So they're residents with at least 2 years of musculoskeletal ultrasound training, or it was done by a senior radiologist or attending who received additional ultrasound training. What they were looking for was hypoechoic fusion along the tendon without signal or color Doppler, or they're looking for hypoechoic and hyperemic thickened synovial sheaths. They did investigate the dorsal synovial recess to look for effusion to suggest arthritis or for loose foreign bodies, which would suggest crystal arthropathy. And they compare this to an asymptomatic finger on the same side or the same digit, the contralateral digit on the opposite side as a baseline. And that's how they were using to see if it was significantly thickened on one side versus the other. Of those 57 patients examined, 27 or 47.4% had peritendinous effusion, and then 23 or 40.4% had synovial sheath thickening and hyperemia. 18 of the 27 that went to the operating room were confirmed by findings or culture to have pyogenic flexor tendon synovitis. So that means that there were 10 false positive exams and one false negative that eventually went to surgery due to a poor clinical outcome. Overall, that means that there was a 94.4% sensitivity and a 74.4% specificity with a positive predictive value of 63% and a negative predictive value of 96.7%. This is kind of unique because ultrasound was actually more sensitive than it was specific. A lot of times we see the opposite of point-of-care ultrasound. Now, there are, of course, some limitations in this study. The main things were the amount of experience with this is not something that's more of an entry-level type thing, which, I mean, it's not necessarily a true limitation. It just shows that they had a higher level. What I would have liked to see better is that they did not specify which of the two types of findings was more accurate and how this compares to routine evaluation and management. So this was just a single arm study basically. And I would like to have seen if they had two arms. So one with routine management versus one where they did the ultrasound to make the decision point to see if that mattered. Also, we have to remember that obvious cases were excluded, which I think is important because we're not talking about a population where we're including that. We're only looking at a population where we're not certain if this is flexor tendon synovitis to help make the decision. So overall, with positive findings, that's something that we need to be thinking about, but it may not always be flexor tendon synovitis that is pyogenic, at least. We have seen before in previous studies that inflammatory flexor tendon synovitis is more accurate than the physical exam. But once we start talking about infection, maybe this is not as clear cut. Overall, this is meant to be a very short podcast and review. I'm going to include some images on the website side so you can see what this looks like. There are also some great links to other articles to check out to get a little more information as well on this. I feel like this is a relatively straightforward exam, and sometimes this can be enough to push your team and specifically the people you're consulting about whether or not this patient needs to stay versus outpatient management, so that way that your patient can get the best care. And I think in the future we're going to see this a little bit more, but we'll talk about this as well, maybe a little more on follow-up with some of the other MSK applications. Let me know your thoughts if you're doing this at all currently, but until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.